B-Pod Studios.
It's called the Toucher and Rich Show, but you can't forget Waller.
You explain it to me, John. Explain
honey,
it.
Honey.
Did you call him honey?
I did. This is like the argument I had with my wife last night.
Pull it.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
No, I was just going to say, tomorrow at this time, the return of Brookline 911.
Yes.
So we will have some new ones. Tomorrow at 8 o'clock, we will do that. Is this a new Smashing Pumpkins? Is it? Every time I hear one that I don't think sounds like the Smashing Pumpkins, you always say it is.
It's a group called White Reaper.
Oh, okay. White Reaper.
Oh.
Oh. It gets very death metal-y.
No, it does not. Oh, speaking of that, Ghost on tour. But guess what city they're avoiding again? Boston.
Although that means you just have to travel to go see them, Rich.
Yeah, I'm going to go down to the Dunkin' Donuts Center in Providence.
That's not wrong with the Dunk.
And by the way, they are touring with a legitimate great band that actually used to practice in the room next to us, Mastodon. Excellent, excellent band if you've never seen them live. So that is a road trip I will be taking. Unless I want to go see them in Bangor, because I think they're going to be up there as well.
Well, you got to hit Bangor.
Well, that's, of course, something that Paul Stanley had a lot of fun with. Bangor!
Whoa! My head exploded.
Something I would never want to do. What's that?
Go do an appearance or something.
Bangor, no thank you. I'm busy. Bangor, no. That's okay. I'm busy.
Can you imagine if they had David Lee Roth, like, in just the one sheet, like, under his hotel door was, like, you're in Bangor, Matt.
Instead of speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
Trying to think of all the different ways he could screw up that innuendo.
If you want to see something, just go to YouTube and watch any performance from 1982 with Van Halen. Because there is a time where Diamond Dave insists on getting on stage alone with a guitar. Which is always wise, to learn the instrument that your bandmate has reinvented,
right?
Like, learn it on the fly. And he's got this sparkly Diamond Dave guitar where he's going to get into Ice Cream Man, but Dave does not want to get into Ice Cream Man. Dave is in no hurry to get into Ice Cream Man. Dave has had a few cocktails, yeah. And Dave wants to tune that son of a bitch and old school bluesy talk.
By the way, Wallach just tweeted something legitimately great. It is a video of Tyler Harrow from last
Take
night.
Take a look at what he's wearing, what he's Fred. Wearing?
Look at that.
Yeah.
So he's wearing sunglasses indoors, obviously. He's got this sleeveless shirt and a hat about as high on your head as you can.
He looks like a kid from rural Wisconsin and first
trying
trip to Vegas.
Be something he's not.
He looks like his first trip to Vegas.
Yeah. And John just put, look at Tyler Harrow. Yep, I'm sure we'd love him here.
Yeah, he's the greatest. All right. Well, very well. While you are Googling frantically David Lee Roth 1982 performance.
I was in the middle of it.
You got to see it. He's like, skling, ling, ling, ling.
Well, Van Halen ding, concerts ding. At that time were like 8 songs, a 10-minute drum solo, a Michael Anthony 10-minute bass solo.
Well, that was cruel. When they made Michael Anthony do the bass solo, it was cruel because all he did was he just ended up smashing his bass.
And lighting it on fire.
I saw it when he came through with Sammy Hagar in the 5150 tour. He had the Jack Daniels bass. He went out there, and it was 10 minutes of him messing around on stage, and then he smashed the thing, and it was over.
But the best is then if you want to look back to the David Lee Roth Band first tour, when he had not only Steve Vai, but Billy Sheehan.
Oh, God.
Who was the Steve Vai bass.
He would do the Peanuts theme.
Oh, no, that's Stu Hamm. You got him as Stu Hamm.
Oh, yeah. Billy Sheehan's Mr. Big. That's right.
Yeah, Stu Hamm played like the 85 string bass. But what would happen is, so here's Steve Vai going like skiddly dilly 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 dilly. And in the background, Steve Vai can't see him. This is actually what's going on stage. And Billy Sheehan's, he's telling the audience, don't say nothing. Here I come. And then he goes up behind Steve Vai and mutes his guitar. And Steve Vai goes, now Steve Vai does not like that. But it's playful. And Steve Vai's like, what? And then so Billy goes, 1 second. And they're miming this whole thing. He's like, 1 second. He goes, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And Steve Vai goes, oh, no, and runs. Because he's got to run away because the bass is too furious.
You destroyed me with rock.
Right. And then Steve Vai switches guitars and then tells the audience, shush. He creeps up behind Billy Sheehan and stops the bass solo. Now, Sheehan taste of his own medicine.
Right.
But he's incredulous as well.
That's right.
And back and forth it goes.
Nothing like a bass solo to send all the women in the audience crazy.
Really? But what about when you reverse the hand that is working the fret?
It's like an aphrodisiac for the 14 women there.
It's like you got four strings, dude. I can't hear what's going on. Like, it's like it all sounds the same. It's all very low. And like,
right. It's like, hey, listen, Les Claypool of Primus is probably one of the best bass players in the world. I still can't hear the notes he's playing.
Well, also, that's, I wouldn't even call that a bass. Like, when he's what he's playing is some crazy tone of it and everything.
By the way, just quickly, Adventures in Masturbatory Guitar Soloing. There was a friend of mine who went and saw, I forget who they were open for, it was years ago, Mr. Big. You know, you're talking about Billy Sheehan, you know, the To Be With One, To Be With You.
I know the story.
So Paul Gilbert is, you know, the guitarist. And first of all, the balls on this guy. He came out on stage with a drill to play his guitar with. If your name's not Eddie Van Halen, don't bring a drill on stage because Eddie Van, and I don't even care if Eddie wasn't the first one to do it. Once he did it, it's his. It's over with. It's
right.
That's his gig. But Paul Gilbert comes out on stage and he does this thing where he takes the drill and holds it up and goes, and then puts it on his guitar, and then would hold it back up in the air and the crowd would go crazy. And then he would put it back on his guitar, and then hold it back up in the air. And on the third time he did it, he put the drill down on his guitar, went, and when he pushed it back up as if to hold it up in victory, it got caught in his hair.
Oh.
And the drill went, and hit, and like rolled up his hair, and the drill like hit him on the head. So his drill is stuck to the side of his head, and he runs off the stage, and the lights go down for about like 30 seconds, and then the drummer just starts playing something.
It's almost
just to
like
kill time.
When our friend Axel, who works for a radio station, almost fell into the drums while drunkenly handling the chainsaw at a Jackal show.
Oh, that's always fun.
He had it up and he drunkenly starts stumbling back, and Jesse James appears to get low and like catch him so he doesn't kill someone. All right. Nonetheless, maybe in one of these towns you could still see the original David Lee Roth band lineup. But if you do catch yourself bored at some point, watch Diamond Dave. Halfway through the performance, get out the guitar. It's a good 15 minutes of stops and starts.
Somewhere there's like a bat phone light flashing at Hampton Beach.
Yes.
Someone's got somebody who wants to see the original Steve Vai David Lee Roth experience. Get him on the phone.
Greg Bissonette, he's here. He's bussing tables.
Can we get that version of Warrant with only the bass player to open for them, please?
Yes. It's a bunch of guys playing Warrant songs. Yeah. That's like Quiet Riot. Like, literally no one's still alive.
Not one original member of Quiet Riot.
But they
get
are
on the phone.
They are guys playing Quiet Riot songs, which you could not find anywhere else.
Well, probably not.
Probably not.
But who would want to be in
but
that
who's
band?
Paying to see Quiet Riot where it's just the guys playing Quiet Riot songs? Nonetheless.
It's like the Little River Band show that Crash went to that didn't
where,
have any
where
members
he insisted on it. He just went over and over and over about how great it was to see the Little River Band because they were playing in Sandy Springs.
All right. Well, let's get to it, Dan, shall we?
No.
Who don't drink in Rocklahoma?
Your.
Who else in the level crowd say yay? Yeah.
Armpits of America.
They cut my beard and forced me to eat it.
Yes, when you work our hours, these are the things that you watch. The time, if you want to know what I do before I nap, it's watching old David Lee Roth performances. All right, Rich, what's going on?
All right, so in Know Your Armpits of America, I will give you and John a real story that happened somewhere in one of the places you might want to avoid here in this great nation of ours, and you just tell me which one of those places it is, okay? We'll start with story number one. A woman led cops on a high-speed chase partially because she had to take a dump.
Oh, I could relate.
Is that in Texas, Oklahoma, or Mississippi?
All right. I'm going to say Oklahoma because I got to figure in the cattle capitals. It hits hard.
It's a lot of beef eating.
It doesn't hit often, but when it does, it hits hard.
That smells Mississippi to me.
Well, Fred, you are indeed correct.
All right.
Let's go.
I don't like that this is a woman, so we're going to pretend it's not. But have you ever been driving like home from work or something where you got to take a dump and you're talking to someone on the phone and like every other word out of your mouth has to be like, I got to take a dump? Like, I'll be talking to someone on the phone and they'll be like, so like, how are the kids? And I'll be like, great. Like, I got to take a dump. It's just like the only thing that your brain can think of.
Well, I was on a road trip with Mary, and we were talking, and I'm trying to do everything to not, like, show my hand that I have to pee super bad. And at one point, she goes, "Are you okay?" And I realize that I've made myself, like, stiff as a surfboard. Like, my rear end isn't even touching the seat, just so I can stretch out my bladder while I'm speaking.
See, I know I can evacuate urine at anywhere. Mm-hmm. The problem is with taking a dump, and it just permeates my thought process to the point where, like, I gotta take a dump, gotta take a dump, gotta take a dump, foot loose. And I just start thinking everything just is
sure
going to the bathroom. All right, well, let's pretend this isn't a woman, but here we are in Oklahoma.
A high-speed chase.
Step out of the car!
And guns drawn in residential Enid. All starting with a traffic stop. At the wheel, this woman, Emily Owings, initially pulled over for not wearing her seatbelt, the only form of identification, her medical marijuana card.
Your license is suspended.
Why?
I don't know. And now I'm waiting to see if you have warrants through Woods County.
If you're the police, can't you just go, all right, it's kind of BS why we pulled her over. Like, big deal, she doesn't have a license.
The mugshot of her is the best.
It's like,
she's bawling in front of the camera. You still haven't let me go.
It's like, I got to poop so bad.
She's crying.
I just thought that the only identification was her medical marijuana card. Oh.
Wouldn't it be funny if just this was an ad for Depends? And it was like, don't let this happen to you. Yeah. And like, the cops are like, your license is suspended. You just hear it go, oh, and then thumbs up. Like, I'm avoiding a lot of pain.
Where do you think I was
birthday,
going?
Man.
Huh?
This is my birthday.
A bizarre excuse and her 28th birthday, not the only problem she's dealing with. Police say she wasn't supposed to be behind the wheel in the first place. A warrant out for her arrest in Winoka. Allegedly fighting an officer.
Please just let me go.
Because I know your license is suspended.
I'm sorry, I didn't know it was. I won't drive no more, but can I please go home with your poo?
This Enid officer calling for backup.
You have warrants through Woods County and they're coming to get you.
No, they're not.
Ma'am.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh, boy. I got a bowl filler.
Whoa.
Get the hell out
hell
of my
yeah.
Way.
Eastbound down, loaded up and trucking.
I mean, she is a dream weaver, fighting cops and running to take a dump.
There is some like, if you had like 5 minutes left to live, it's not how I would spend the time, but it would be cool just to go like high speed chase. Here we go. Do back boo! And the guy's hat falls off and he has to run into his car. And you're like flying. And then you turn off the lights and you're like rolling to someone's backyard and you're like Steve Vai go shh.
That 0-40 probably didn't help her poop situation.
It's the centrifugal force might push it back up. But I'll tell you, if you are in high speed chase, according to Smoking the Bandit, you do cut the lights, turn off the engine, and slowly roll in neutral into someone's yard.
Mm-hmm.
Sparking a pursuit, topping 70 miles per hour,
ooh,
going through stop signs.
Wait, she must have been in a Lamborghini. She got that up to 70? Woof!
Cool.
The nitrous that she must have been burning.
And a school zone.
Oh, wait,
eventually
a school
stopping.
Get out of the vehicle now!
Arrested, off to jail, and her charges upgraded.
Get out of the vehicle, man!
You could have already been on.
Can I poop in your car?
Yeah. Yes.
That's still. Hey.
I thought you'd never ask.
Hey.
Perhaps a deal can be brought to the table. Hmm. I have to poop. Well, you're definitely coming with me. Ignore the cameras.
So
for the state.
You're standing in there with.
I have to make sure she's carrying no weapon.
I see.
She's a flight risk.
Oh.
You could have already been on your way to jail.
Yeah, not moving.
Get in the car.
Police searching Owings' car and finding a pipe. And inside of it, meth. And Enid, Peyton Gaper, Oklahoma's News 4.
Oh, you got to figure.
What
did you figure?
That meth is like instant diarrhea.
She's a lady.
Yeah, I don't know any. I swear to God, I don't know anything about meth. And in fact, to my knowledge, I've never been around anyone smoking it. But I would have to believe that it just excites your system.
Me and
poop so bad.
Why'd you have to be a girl?
Why not?
Meth.
Yes. I'm a feminist.
Ma'am.
That rules.
Is that
right
not the greatest soundbite of all time?
I mean, if you took away the whole poo thing, that would have been like the coolest chick ever. like see ya.
I'm firing up my 95 Nissan and getting the hell out of Dodge.
Well, you don't know what you can do. Obviously, you're not a fan of the movies. You say you are.
So is it? Is that
get
lady?
Those Nissans cooking.
Does that lady happen to have a naked guy in the trunk?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good.
Well, he's been waiting all this time. Have you been waiting, naked guy in the trunk, for this woman to defecate finally?
Yeah.
All right.
It's a rite of passage.
I understand that it is. Naked guy in the
trunk. So it's, if you're the cop, why even go after? There's no scenario where it ends well for your
That's a good point. There's no clean ending to this. It's a good point.
Literally. There is no clean ending. It's going to be a real mess.
Me and
poop so bad.
Yes, well, please.
I can't say this time.
Please.
Yeah.
Do not get anything on the window separating us, or I'll have to open it.
Oh, God.
Ma'am.
That little extra step. You know, we were right there, and well, there's that extra.
I have to investigate.
That wasn't necessary.
I'm not convinced that you're doing anything back there.
No. Ernie Adams, what is it going to be like in the vaccine?
It's going to be hot.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, NPR. Coming up, some Bach. Concerto number 9, as played by the Berlin Philharmonic. That will be happening in just a moment.
Me and
poop so bad.
Yes, well, that's the beginning of every Tinder date, isn't it?
Meth.
That's the second thing in every Tinder date.
Well, you get the meth once you provide the sample.
Oh, jeez. He deals drugs for feces.
You get them hooked on that sweet sugar. You become their sugar daddy.
So most people want money. You don't want that.
No, I get them high on my supply.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Gorman on the show tonight.
They become... I get.
Are we sure?
Yeah, then you become a sugar daddy.
Okay.
You want that hair, Ron? You feel sick, don't you?
Most drug dealers are in it for the cash.
No,
you're not in it for that.
No, they become indebted to you.
It's going to be hot.
All right. Very good. That there you have it. That is the stuff right there. That is the ratings number one stuff. All right. Mike Gorman is slated to join us in just a moment.
Ma'am.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
It's slow.
Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tatum, deep on the left side. P.J. Tucker chases him. Bad pass by Tatum. Butler steps in the passing lane, picks it off, goes the distance. Pump fake, forces it up and in. Jalen chased him down. He got there, but a 22-2 run for Miami. Bad pass by Tatum again. Another steal for Butler. Two-hand slam and a disastrous sequence for Jason Tatum.
Butler running through the pass.
You know, obviously Allen and Marcus, two are veteran guys that kind of calm us down at times. You might miss that some, but like I said, it was a little bit of everybody. It wasn't just young guys and Peyton and those guys. It was Jason and some of our veterans making the same mistake, so no excuse there.
Feel the pain of everyone. We are Toucher and Rich. Mike Gorman is the voice of your Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. And while he might not be calling the games, He is still watching them. And he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Gorman, hello, sir.
You ever been to Enid, Oklahoma?
No.
I kind of want to go now.
Gee, it's awful.
Yeah.
I actually drove through, going cross country with my daughter, and wow. It's Oklahoma at its very best.
Yeah, that's the part of driving cross country that, like, just those truck stops in states like Oklahoma, you can't wash it off.
There was a truck stop in, I'm pretty sure it was Oklahoma, might have been Missouri, but all it was a gas station and a strip club.
Really?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yep, that's it. This was it. You know, you either got gas or you got gas.
Well, now you know what I like.
How old were you when you saw this?
What? Oh, this was like 2 years. No, about 4 years ago.
Yeah. So, but which makes sense because that's where all the beautiful ladies are going to be. Right. I mean, everyone wants a trucker, you know, who's been up for 48 hours ordering them around. That is funny. That would be something, even if I was with my parents, I'd be like, oh, excuse me, you I got to go in here.
I actually think there's one of those in, like, South Georgia. But
there is.
The other thing about it, too, is there's always, like, these creepy adult novelty stores that are attached to gas stations as well, like, throughout the South. So I've not seen the one that you speak of, but sure enough, they do exist in the South. No, it's not a rarity.
Well, the thing is, in Valdosta, it's a little bit different than what Mike's talking about, because you're talking about the one right on the border of Florida and Georgia.
It might be the one I'm thinking of.
No, it is, because they advertise it for about 70 miles.
Yeah,
so that is the... what's the place in North Carolina?
South of the border, which is like they advertise that for like hundreds of miles.
So this is the South of the Border strip club. Like, they implanted in your mind that you're going to be going there. And even when I was driving with my mom, there was something in me I didn't that just wanted the car to go to the strip club. They've announced it so much, they almost have to visit it.
The other one that I really like was Gas and Guns, next exit.
Is that something that exists?
Gas and Guns, yes, it does. The sign exists.
All right, well.
I think I have that somewhere. I have my daughter take a picture of that because that sounds... Gas and Guns.
You just got to pick it up on the fly. Who knows? I'm out of money. I just robbed the gas station. All right. So, Mike, anything out of last night that concerns you going into the future, or do you think it's just a team with little rest going into a new matchup?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you really earlier when you said that you're not concerned about this loss. I'm not really concerned about this loss. They were kind of sweep Miami, that's for sure, especially coming in. They were just off 2 days of rest, if there was indeed 2 days of rest there. I think some things last night they learned about being careless. If you be careless with the ball with Miami, they'll make you pay a steep price. And, you know, Jimmy Butler has to be the best player in the NBA that nobody ever really talks about. I mean, he is just so solid on both ends of the floor and really took over that game in the third quarter. And so if the Celtics had any memories from the bubble, then they're all back again now. But I'm not really all that concerned. Now, if they lose again and lose decisively, which they pretty much did in game two, game one, rather, there might be something to think about there. But if they can get Marcus back, I don't know how long Al's going to be out with this thing. How long did it go? 5 days without any show up on the
account? It's really weird. Short.
Your guess is as good as ours.
So we kind of did some investigating and the math and everything, and what it seems like is that most likely it's 5 days or two negative tests. I mean, I don't know if the NHL has the exact same policy as the NBA, but, you know, we thought that Charlie McAvoy, when the Bruins were in the playoffs, you know, he had the same thing happen to him. We thought he was going to be out for several games, and he just missed one, and then they got a flight for him to get back just in time.
Negative back-to-back 24 hours apart. Now, if the NBA has that same policy, Al tests negative today and negative tomorrow morning, he can play. I don't know if that's the case, though.
Yeah, I don't either. But it was interesting the comment the coach made because it sounded like he was just concerned that I was feeling okay, so I guess we're ready to go.
Yes. It sounds to us like Al, I mean, just once again, you're only tested on game day if you are someone who isn't fully vaccinated, and that includes with a booster. So maybe Al Horford isn't fully vaccinated without a booster, and that's why he ended up getting tested, and thus what's happening now. But it sure does sound like, as you said, according to Ime, I mean, he was at shoot-around, so he looks like he's ready to play and he's ready to go. They just got to wait for, I guess, the testing.
He might just in these snafu of the rules, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
one of the things with the game last night, though, I go back to the late, great Tommy, what he would look at first when he saw a box score, which is always, always he'd look at field goal attempts and say, that's where the game is decided with FGAs. And the Celtics only took 79 shots last night total. And they just, you're not going to win too many NBA games taking only 79 shots unless you just have the officials on your side and you get to the line 100 times. That wasn't the case last night either for either side. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. They got to get more shots up. I think Jason only took 21 shots in the game, and I think Jalen took 17. You know, if Al doesn't come back, I mean, Marcus will shoot it. Al needs to take about 14 or 15 shots a game. If Al doesn't come back, there are shots out there to be taken. And, I won't have any problem if Tatum puts up 23 or 24 shots or 25 shots. Same thing with Jalen. They got to get the ball up there and see what happens.
What do you make of Tatum's third quarter? It was as if he hit a wall and had no energy left.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I've been waiting for these guys to hit a wall so they can get through it and come out the other side. And I think we may have seen it the other night. That was a pretty quick turnaround off the win over Milwaukee to get down to Miami, of all places, where there's all these sorts of things beckoning, sidelines beckoning to have you take you away from practice or whatever. So they only had one day down there, and all of a sudden they're playing a game against a team that's been sitting and waiting. And, you know, one or two things always happens when a team sits and waits. They say, gee, the long rest actually hurt them, or the long rest was great for them. And I think the long rest was great for Miami. It certainly was great for Sam Vincent, whatever Vincent's first name is.
Gabe Vincent.
He was burying shots left and right. And challenging people too, talking a lot of trash. So the Heat have a lot of guys that we don't really know unless you really avidly follow the NBA. Were pretty good players. Yeah. Vincent probably being the head of that list.
It's funny, we're talking about Jimmy Butler and how he's just one of those guys that refuses to lose. And it's infectious, and you see that when every other player kind of takes on his identity on how he's playing. And yesterday in that second half, I give him a ton of credit. I give Eric Spoelstra a ton of credit, too. I mean, I guess that throughout the playoffs here, their third quarters have been insane. And I guess that all has to be with, here's the adjustments, here's what we did wrong, and there's a team that takes that to heart, and they run with it. And now we just have to see if Ime Udoka does what he did last series, kind of like what we saw after Game 5. Here's what you did wrong, and then they show up fresh and new with a completely different plan and are able to do something. We'll see how good Ime can answer to what Spoelstra did at the half.
Yeah, but the problem for Ime is you're probably not going to know until an hour and a half before game time who's playing, who's not. And that's hard to draw a plan. You can't have, and if this guy doesn't play, we switch to this here. That gets very confusing, I think. So hopefully he will get some straight information by middle of the day tomorrow as to who's going to be able to play and not be able to play, and then really sit down and decide what he really wants to do with the personnel he has. But that for the Celtics, at least in that first game, was, everybody I know, my phone went off the hook about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, because first you heard Al wasn't going to play, and then you heard Marcus was not going to play, then you heard Al was not going to play, and you're just waiting for another shoe to fall. So I want to see the Celtics get everybody in uniform, and forget even being healthy, just everybody in uniform and ready to go play, and then we'll see what the coach can come up with. So far, he's come up with some pretty good stuff.
All right, what can you do if, let's say you have the same personnel out there as you did yesterday, let's say Marcus and Al are not playing in game two, what can they do if, once again, they start targeting Peyton Pritchard? Because they went right at him, and they got a ton of success being able to do that. Peyton Pritchard, obviously, on offense seems to be fine, but, I mean, he's kind of like the Kemba Walker from a couple years ago, where they targeted Kemba and they got such success out of it. How do you handle that if you're shorthanded and they're going to go right at this guy?
Well, they got to figure out some way to get Nesmith to come to the rescue there. And he did on the defensive end of the court last night. He was terrific.
He was.
A couple of offensive end, but defensively, he was great. So I think they got to do... they got to trap the ball aggressive defensively before you let the Heat start their offense against your defense, if that makes sense. I think you three-quarter press guys, you really trap guys at half court, try to get them in that little triangle where they get over half court and they can't go back over the line. And be aggressive, really aggressive defensively. That would be my game plan. You can't sit and wait for it to happen with Miami, because they pass the ball too well. And as you say, John, and you're right, who am I thinking of there? Butler just will refuse to lose, and he doesn't shoot threes. He doesn't really try to dunk the ball. He's got that in between game that Pierce used to have. Foul line left, foul line right, about 14-foot jump shots. He just piles them up over the course of a game, and on the defensive end, and he is just solid. I don't know how great he is, but he's just solid. So you know, he can play a lot. He doesn't seem to get all that tired, played a lot of minutes last night and probably play a lot of minutes through the series. But, you know, coach always talks about you got to cut the head off the snake. That's the snake right there. You got to figure out some way to cut Butler's head off.
All right. Well, Mike Gorman.
Not literally, boys.
Yes. Wait, not why?
Not literally.
No. So of course not.
Horribly violent. Do you know the guy who does TV down in Miami for the...
Eric Reed, I think his name is?
Eric does a broadcast, yeah. He broadcasts, it has been for 25 years, yeah.
Yeah, I hung up on him yesterday.
You hung up on him?
Yeah.
Wait, he called you?
Nah, he was being a jerk when we were interviewing him. He was not nice.
Really? Eric, really?
Yeah. If you listened to it, I would be interested in your opinion.
He was kind of insulting.
No, not kind of.
Condescending is the word you're
looking at. Oh, was he really?
Yeah, he pretty much was, Mike.
He was talking, he was just saying, even you two could understand.
And, get out of here.
Yeah. He dropped that a couple times.
And then he was saying, you know, while you're, you know, doing your boards and...
Blades and boards.
Blades and boards.
That's right. You're going to your parties at Blades and Boards. I'm like, celebrating Tyler Hero.
I'm like, I'm not going to any parties. All right. I got no friends, Reed. And you're certainly not going to be one of them. So there you go. All right.
Anybody going to the game on Saturday night? No?
So tickets go on sale, I think, for my section today. And if I can get them, I'm going to go Saturday night.
All right. Let me know. I'll be wandering around looking for a seat.
Were you wearing
looking for a seat?
Where was your seat last?
Come on.
Where was your seat for Game 7? Weren't you? You were right there at the court, right?
Second row, right?
I was second row midcourt.
Yeah, of course.
Second
you
were. Loge, section 302.
Oh, no. Loge is way behind. This is like
I understand. Upper deck.
I had wood. If you have wood, that's all you need to see. Hey,
you know, congratulations.
You could feel the vibrations, my friend. I understand.
You got it, buddy.
All right. If you have wood, they say the ladies will take it. I mean, they enjoy being on the court. All right. Mike Gorman.
Don't you like those softballs? I saw you like that.
I do enjoy a double entendre. Mike, thank you very much, sir. We appreciate the time, as always.
See? You know what? That wasn't that hard. Was that hard? No, it wasn't hard.
No, but there's a reason I like Mike so much.
No, what I'm saying is, if Eric Reed answered one question the same way Mike did, the interview would have been wildly different.
Every person that we interview from almost every other team just once again drills in that no one is as great as Mike Gorman. Like, Mike Gorman gets it better than anybody.
Yeah, there's a reason I have in the past, unfortunately not as much recently, but, you know, spent time with him off the air, is I respect Mike. I respected Danny Ainge, too. Those are two guys I very much respected. Jaffe's a friend of mine, but this is different. Like, I knew Jaffe before this, but, like, Ainge and Gorman are two guys I greatly respect. I
mean, you know, Ainge was a guy that would answer questions. He'd BS with us, and he got it.
Oh, and Ian Eagle is another guy that
he's the greatest. Ian Eagle's the best.
All you got to be is, like, a little, and, you know, you'll go, this show's very dumb, but let me explain. If you are a little smart, part of that is that you're able to, like, play around in different fields. Like, if something goes afield into a popular culture, you're able to adjust. If something goes afield in tonality, you're able to adjust. It's a sign of intelligence that you're doing a black and white interview and can be very boring.
Doesn't
take much.
That's the thing. It doesn't take much at all.
But you would be surprised how much it does take. It does take a confidence in a sort of intelligence.
And you could tell the difference between someone who is just scared to make somebody angry and someone who's just flat out being a dick.
That's why.
And the Reed situation, Eric Reed, was one of the latter. It wasn't someone who was just afraid to make someone angry. That was just a guy being condescending.
Right. And the thing about Ainge was that it really did seem like Ainge just was, like, confident enough where he didn't care what people thought of what the interview was.
Sure. I mean, look at all he's accomplished in his life. What does he got to care about that?
Well, you know, a lot of people it lends to an arrogance, but I thought his was, I found him to be an impressive person. All right, when we come back, very quickly, I do want to talk about how Matt Patricia's first press conference went over in some other areas of the country.
Oh, good.
Because it will make you feel good that taking control of some of this offense. Because he is loved in some other places in the country. We will be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
I mean, look at us. We are just three intimidating sons of bitches.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Players, you know, I've been over there kind of working with them on the field. We weren't allowed to do anything phase one, obviously, because of the rules. Specifically, kind of spending time with the guys up front, with the offensive line, which has been great for me. You know, I came here a long time ago, and I came in as an offensive line coach. You know, I came in, I was coaching offensive line in college. It's been fun to kind of get back to that and get back to my roots of, you know, how I started coaching really in this league. But really, actually, my first, you know, coaching job was with the O-line.
Yes, there you go. The vast offensive resume of your own Matt Patricia.
Well, his whole thing was like, you know, when you scheme a defense to go against an offensive line, then you know a lot about offensive lines.
The best is
I believe that was almost like something he said in his press conference.
Well, yeah, he's an idiot. He's a truly, truly an idiot. And so what's funny about this whole new incarnation of Patriots coaches is the funniest thing that we'll get to in a moment is the legacy that these guys have left in the cities that they've just been fired from. Oh boy. Not loved. And the media, like the guys who cover the teams, like apparently Matt. So, all right, I'll start with this. So Matt Patricia, by the way, the other funny thing is that even guys like Tom Curran are like, what is your motivate? Like, there's no motivation for them not to tell you what the offensive coaching strategy is or who's going to be doing what that benefits them against an opponent.
Unless no they don't edge. Know.
Right. That's the thing.
So that's yep. the thing. So, but you'll hear these desperate Hail Mary phone calls like, you know, well, they can look up guys' tendencies. Like, what are you talking about? Like, look up Patricia's offensive tendencies. Look up Joe Judge's offensive tendencies. You would think that you would just, there's a reason that, you know, you knew Bill O'Brien was the offensive coordinator. There's a reason you knew Romeo Crennel was the defensive coordinator. There's because it's just what you do. And to have a level of hierarchy is just the way things are done. And in most cases, benefits. The only explanation for them not doing it is because they don't know or they're just... My theory is that Belichick just goes, I like these guys and I think they're good coaches and I'm just going to scatter them all around.
Or
they came out of my balls.
You know, he's surrounding himself with his friends. That's all this is.
His friends that but if you put him in a lie detector, he'd tell you Joe Judge and Patricia are good coaches. In his mind, not telling you they are, but in his mind they are. And of course, I don't know if he would think his son's a good coach. But he's kind of behind the eight ball there.
Let's hook him up for that one.
Good enough to call the plays, apparently.
Yeah, but that's like I put myself in his shoes, and like once your kids start, like how are you going to tell them no? Like at a certain point,
sure.
Like you love your kids more than anything in the world. Like at what point? Like I can't
get him a gig in another team.
Well, I would not want to put myself in the position of having to tell my kid, like, listen, you're not good enough to do this. I would like another team to do that and have him earn his own way in the world, but that is not my place. But there, so Patricia did this thing, and he's got his hat on with the pencil, and the guy who covers the line said, this is the rocket scientist who thought you had to rotate guards. Apparently, this is a thing. He thought you had to rotate offensive guards. He said that to the Lions media at one point, and he said, I sincerely hope he succeeds Belichick. The, much like how the one true, you'll love this, Rich, once how the one true link of power was used to try to subjugate Middle Earth into an era of darkness and despair in Lord of the Rings. That damn pencil was Patricia's instrument of subjugating Detroit into an era of far darker than anything Sauron could have cooked up.
Oh, yes, my precious.
I understand that.
He is indeed Gollum. He is becoming consumed.
That's right.
with the pencil.
When you're pulling out Sauron, that's bad news.
See, what I
bad news.
Well, see, these guys all covered him. Shudders in Lion's PTSD.
You want a Lord of the Rings reference? He is Grima Wormtongue to the king. He's whispering into Belichick's ear wrong things.
Ugh. It's just these guys. So these lions beat writers hate him so much.
You know what's wild?
They tuned into the press conference,
yeah,
just to hate watch it.
You know what? And Fred, I think you've heard this same thing. The one thing about Matt Patricia that kind of gives me a little bit of pause. Did you see how he ended his press conference with the media?
No,
it was kind of with a Ned Flanders, "Hi, diddly neighbor. You guys are the best. Hey, thanks a bunch, guys. Really appreciate hanging out with you guys this morning."
Yeah, because he's already had his morning brews.
I guess so. But Matt, I think from what I have heard, was very upset with why the media didn't like him.
Oh, well, that's a sign of someone who's truly growing and recognizing their own flaws. It's the media's fault why they don't like
him. To the point where he has, like, reached out to members of the media and like, wanted to sit down with them personally and said, "Why am I not liked? Why have I not been liked?
Oh my.
Tell me how I can be liked."
Okay, well, let's start with not telling a guy to sit up and dress better because he's in a sacred place talking to a god of sorts that needs to telling another grown man to do that.
Oh, yeah.
How about not acting like Belichick and being gruff and not answering any questions when you're starting new with a new franchise? And by the way, the fan base... How hard is it for you to realize when you're new, you're not Belichick, right? Mm-hmm. Take every, Belichick's been here 20 years. Things are done a certain way. This is getting ridiculous, but for the most part, his vagueness is taken. You cannot start brand new, first head coaching job with a professional football franchise and blow off the media's questions as if, like, oh, well, we should just know, or it's none of our business. It's entirely their business.
And by the way, in fairness, this apparent movement to try to figure out how to be better with the media happened after all of that.
Of course it did.
It happened after. And by the way, anyone who saw that is like, okay, what a dick this guy is, telling someone in the, you know, at the press conference, you need to sit up straight when you talk.
Oh, by the way,
I mean, that's as condescending as it gets.
First of all, these guys, I've never seen the level of hatred that these Lions writers have.
Yeah, because they were on the other side of that.
But I've never seen it like this ever with this. And ask Bert how well Patricia went over in the Lions locker room right in the beginning.
Yeah, I know. And that's been well documented, too.
Hey, Fatso, don't walk around like you did anything.
Yeah.
Like, but, be open. Listen,
but just,
you know, you're not going to be a great coach right away.
But just keep your eyes on it, because I'm telling you, leading up to the regular season, every time Matt Patricia speaks, you're going to tell that he is trying to make an effort to not be that guy. But I've always been kind of under the impression that true colors do sometimes eventually come through. So I'm wondering if maybe halfway through the season, it's just going to be too much work.
I think he's too dumb.
Maybe.
Like,
but I
like,
do know guys, it's something like, that bugs him.
Why
don't you like me?
Well, because you were a dick and you didn't give anyone any information when they had the right to it. No one, Matt, no one knows how you're going to run this team because you've never done it before.
Oh, hang on. Here's the clip.
Thank you very much, Matt. We appreciate you joining us today. And thank you, everyone, for hopping on the call.
Yeah, great to see everybody. You guys stay safe, be good, and I appreciate it very much. It's good to see you guys.
Thanks, Matt.
See, that's the new Matt Patricia. He's trying on a new personality.
That's the Matt Patricia.
Wow, how big of him.
Well, I mean, look, let Fred take this.
All right, Si, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Yeah, so I agree with you that Belichick's dropping the ball and not having a clear coordinator. Just two things real quick. Number one, I would say is that Patricia did start his career off on the offensive side of the ball. And also, just the most interesting thing I find is that when Patricia was a defensive coordinator, everybody here loved him. When he was wearing that Goodell clown shirt, he got no hate.
Hey, I did.
From me, he did.
If the whole thing is him sucking out of the Colts, Bill O'Brien, all the Belichick's assistants have sucked as coaches.
No, he did not.
As a coordinator.
No, Bill O'Brien kept the job, went to the playoffs, and had.
I'm agreeing with you, Fred.
No, I know, but Patricia.
Bill O'Brien's the only one out of his tree who's done a good job.
But they have not blown up so spectacularly as Matt Patricia.
There's being condescending.
He lost that locker room and the media before his first season started.
Oh, I agree. I'm just saying, when he was a defensive coordinator, coordinator here, he did not get the same level of hate. People said he was intelligent. He ran good.
Oh, yeah, 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 because he hid behind Belichick. Yeah, I got a break. It's not you, it's me. But because he got to hide behind Belichick. Oh, believe me. Oh, there's a reason these guys all hate him that much. I've never seen anything like it. We'll be back with Billy Jeff.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.